Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast from GPB News. Today is Wednesday, February 21st. I'm Peter Biello. On today's episode, Columbia County officials seek to turn most of the county into a new municipality. A Georgia Senate committee has advanced a proposal requiring libraries to notify parents of every book their child checks out. And we'll introduce you to the man who is scooping up hazards on Atlanta's roads with magnets. These stories and more are coming up on this edition of Georgia Today. Officials in Columbia County want to incorporate most of the county into a new municipality. A new report shows a consolidated government comprised mostly of suburbs northwest of Augusta would be fiscally feasible for the county. County Manager Scott Johnson says they are passing up millions of dollars in potential revenue by remaining mostly unincorporated. He says the county is growing quickly, but has an identity crisis.
Things that you would typically see in Atlanta, we have here in Columbia County, but people just don't know who we are. Certainly by doing this, we would become either the fifth or sixth largest city overnight. I think it would help put Columbia County on the map.
Two existing municipalities, Harlem and Grovetown, would remain separate. Harlem Mayor Roxanne Whitaker.
We're very proud of Harlem. We're very proud people. We don't want to be named anything else. We want to remain who Harlem is.
State lawmakers would have to approve a referendum, which then would be decided by unincorporated voters. A proposal that would require school libraries to notify parents of every book their child checks out passed out of a Georgia Senate committee yesterday. The State Senate Education and Youth Committee voted 5-4 to send the bill to the full Senate for more debate. The proposal would let parents choose to receive an email anytime their child obtains library material. Another proposal that would subject school librarians to criminal charges for distributing material containing obscenity is up for a committee hearing today. Senate Bill 154 removes an exemption for school libraries from state code, outlawing the distribution of harmful material to minors, which some school librarians said could put them at risk of arrest for doing their jobs. The State House has passed a bill to prevent officers from having to arrest people who refuse to sign traffic tickets. Representatives overwhelmingly approved the bill today. It's sponsored by Jonesboro Democrat Yasmeen Neal.
Get a ticket, refuse to sign. Officer says no problem, writes refuses to sign on the ticket, and sends them on their way. No more arguments, no more fights.
The change comes after an Atlanta church deacon died last year after refusing to sign a citation and struggling with an officer. The bill now goes to the Senate for more debate. Georgia House leaders are signaling Medicaid health care coverage won't be expanded this year. A bill introduced yesterday by a top lieutenant to Republican House Speaker John Burns proposes to create a comprehensive health care commission that could lead to more health coverage in the future, but not this year. Burns has said he wants to explore using Medicaid money to buy private coverage for residents, as Arkansas does. Researchers from Augusta University are using census data to find out how many adults in the U.S. are currently living with intellectual and developmental disabilities, or IDD. GPB's Ellen Eldridge has more on a recent study.
People with Down syndrome, autism, and other disabilities want to live and work and be part of their community. But it's also important that they live where they can receive support and services. That's what study co-author Teal Benavides says. She's an associate professor with Augusta University.
We would expect that the distribution of people with intellectual disability in a state would be unequal, mainly because there are unequal resources between Atlanta and some of our rural portions of the state.
She says there are more than 7,000 Georgians seeking Medicaid services for intellectual and developmental disabilities, and there are not enough resources available. For GPB News, I'm Ellen Eldridge.
The search continues for a 10th day for a City of Albany employee who went missing while collecting water samples from the Flint River. Georgia Department of Natural Resources spokesman Mark McKinnon says the search for Darius Stevens has taken helicopters all the way to Lake Seminole and has included 20 miles of the river by boat.
We've had a difficult time getting boats on the water most of the 10 days simply because of the conditions of the river. It has been very high. It has been very swift.
The water crested yesterday. The search also continues by foot on riverbanks. McKinnon says authorities hope to provide some closure for the family. Attorneys suing a Georgia county over zoning changes that they say threaten the Gullah Geechee community on Sapelo Island asked a judge yesterday to let them correct technical problems with their civil complaint to avoid having it dismissed. Residents of Hog Hummock sued coastal McIntosh County in October after county commissioners voted to weaken zoning restrictions that residents say will lead to property tax increases that they won't be able to pay. A lawyer for McIntosh County argued the judge must throw out the lawsuit because it clashes with a 2020 amendment to Georgia's state constitution dealing with legal immunity granted to state and local governments. This past Monday, President's Day, marked a year since former President Jimmy Carter entered hospice care, and 3 months since the death of former First Lady Rosalynn Carter. Earlier this week, GPB's Sophie Gratis traveled to Plains to see how the town commemorated President's Day and how they're working to keep the Carters' life and work in the public eye.
At the Jimmy Carter National Historic Park, it's presidential historian Larry Cook's 13th year speaking on President's Day, on the same stage that Carter once walked across for his high school graduation. He remembers the Carters coming to this talk.
As often as they could, President and Mrs. Carter would be right here in the front row.
Cook covers presidents other than Carter, but, he says,
I'm particularly dedicated to promoting the legacy of Jimmy and Rosalynn Carter. Because it's a unique legacy even within the presidency.
Visitors Jeff and Susan Ragusa say it's Carter's story, being from this small town, that gives them hope for the future.
I don't know, makes you feel like anybody. Maybe she could grow up and be president, you know.
Ragusa points to his niece, Riley.
She's like, I don't know, that sounds like a lot of work.
Sure it is. Superintendent of the park and friend of the Carters, Jill Stuckey, says it's been a year full of changes in Plains, but they hope to keep welcoming visitors.
You know, we want people to come here. We live to tell people about President Carter, about Mrs. Carter, and their impact on this town, on this state, and on this world.
She says the town will soon start planning for Carter's 100th birthday. For GPB News, I'm Sophie Gratis in Plains.
This year's official White House Christmas ornament will honor former President Jimmy Carter. The nonprofit White House Historical Association has designated the official ornament each year since 1981. Today, it unveiled the 2024 ornament, which is in the shape of an anchor and includes elements reflecting Carter's service in the U.S. Navy and other aspects of his life and career. Also on the ornament, peanuts, representing his career in farming, and doves, representing his peacemaking efforts. The association says the ornament is made in the U.S. by a veteran-founded business. If you've ever gotten a flat tire from a rusty nail, you know that roads are full of unseen hazards. One Atlanta man has taken it upon himself to do something about those hazards, Alex Benigno, also known on Instagram as Atlanta Magnet Man. Using a bike trailer equipped with magnets, he canvasses Atlanta roads, picking up all manner of debris. In this video posted to Instagram, Alex dumps into a plastic crate a month's worth of rusty nails, screws, wire, bottle caps, a wrench, what looks like a whole piston, and pounds of other things you'd rather not run over. Alex Benigno joins me now. Atlanta Magnet Man, welcome to the studio.
Thank you for having me.
So why did you start doing this?
During the pandemic, I was an essential worker, and I was picking up nails and screws with my tires. And I realized that if I'm out here alone, mostly, and I'm picking up all these nails and screws, that means that everyone else's tires are picking up all these nails everywhere. And I think the catalyst to get this project started was when I went to the Kroger on Howell Mill and one morning, and I saw that like a 5-pound bag of screws had fallen off of a contractor's truck on the driveway. And I was like, oh man, I hope somebody does something about this. And I came back around lunchtime and I saw that everything was still there and realized, okay, by the end of the day, if this hasn't been done, I'm going to take care of it. So I borrowed a broom and dustpan and a little magnet sweeper from work. And I went through and I picked up everything. And I realized, okay, well, this, I've got to get my idea rolling because these things are everywhere and no one's taking care of it.
And then you affixed to the back of your bike a few different versions of essentially a trailing magnet facing the ground. If you scroll through your Instagram, you see these photos of it's not just nails.
Oh,
you expect nails and screws and stuff, but you've got like cables, like metal cables. I don't know what these are or why they're on the road, what they could have fallen off of. Giant clumps of metal. I can't tell what they are. All of this in the street.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
You even have one of a bullet. You found a bullet.
Yeah, a steel case bullet. And those are hilarious.
I mean, have you found something that was particularly surprising to you?
Well, there was a very large crane hook just on the side of the road. I picked it up by hand, but it's just like, what is this doing? I had this like fall off of the back of a truck and nobody noticed for however long it's been there.
You've got a mission statement on your Instagram pinned to the top. And part of it is, we are better than this. We can lift these nails and screws from our streets and prevent them from taking that which we hold most dear, our time, our money, and our precious tires. Join me and we can fight this fight together. That's what you've written as a mission statement. Do I get the sense here that you're speaking metaphorically, that this is about more than just picking up loose bits of dangerous metal?
Yes. This is something that anybody can do. And it takes somebody who wants to do the work to do the work to get this kind of stuff done. And it's unfortunate that, like, however our society has gone where this isn't being taken care of and that someone like me has to come along and say, I'm tired of this job not being done. If no one's going to do it, I'll do it. That's kind of my philosophy in a lot of things. When I see a little problem or something where I can help, I like to do it. Try to do little things to alleviate unnecessary suffering that benefits everyone. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of a thing that motivates me.
Have you heard from the city of Atlanta about what you're doing?
Not yet. I know a lot of people have been trying to get the city of Atlanta to contact me or do something, but I want to tread carefully to see, because I think there's a lot of potential to possibly get some sort of funding involved so that I can try to get other people in other parts of the country and other cities who also want to do this to get the resources they need to do it, because it's a pretty easy thing to do that anybody could, with a little bit of technical tinkering, can do.
Well, there's a link on your Instagram to your GoFundMe. Last check, I think you're about two-thirds of the way to your goal.
Yeah, so I think at 2,800 now out of 3,500.
Okay, so yeah. What are you going to use that money for?
That's a bike lane sweeper that I've already ordered it. It should be here in middle of March. And it's same thing as a trailer with a spinning brush. It's battery operated, can pick up gravel and all sorts of other debris and glass and stuff from the roads. My goal is to go through all the bike lanes because so many of our bike lanes are covered in glass and gravel and stuff. And that's pretty much all the debris in the road ends up in the bike lane.
Wow.
And I'm tired of getting flat tires. And
yeah. Have you gotten flat tires on your bike while you've been out collecting metal?
Yeah. I did last Tuesday downtown.
Oh, the irony.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you, because Atlanta's famous for those giant metal plates. How does your setup handle those plates? Do you just get stuck on these giant plates or what?
That's one of the reasons why I think like the maintenance crews can't just stick a magnet sweeper on the back, because they go over a metal plate or a little or a manhole cover or the water meter plates that are in the road. They'll just suck those up or anchor themselves down to them. Mm-hmm. And I have, in all of my trial and error, lots of errors. I have gotten myself stuck to manhole covers. And one day I wasn't paying attention. I went too slowly over a manhole cover and I anchored myself to the manhole cover. And it...
In the middle of the street.
The first time was, luckily I wasn't on the street, but it did take me a while to separate myself from the manhole cover. Mm-hmm. But there was one day a few weeks ago, I was on Collier Road, it was at night after work. I didn't see the manhole cover, and I took a turn. I went over the manhole cover. 8 magnets stuck to the manhole cover. And this is during rush hour traffic, and I had like 20 seconds of time, and I would run out the street, get on my hands and knees, try my best to scrape these magnets off this pure iron cover.
How expensive are these magnets? Were they
worth
it?
So they're like 1 inch by 1 inch by 1/2 inch, and they're $16 each.
Okay.
And they're really, really strong.
Seems like you're working full days and you're doing this on your lunch break. I don't know if you do it on the way to and from work as well. That sounds exhausting. Are you exhausted?
I sleep really well. I'm getting, I'm in the best shape of my life. It's great exercise on this bicycle and it's amazing.
I'm probing for a downside here, Alex. I'm not seeing one. We should all be out there with magnets on our bikes. Yeah.
Well, I guess the only thing is like, because the way the setup is, like, I don't have anything covering the magnets, except somebody, maybe I'll put some cloth over the magnets to help pull everything off. But those little tiny, like hair-sized pieces of steel from tires that hold tires together. Those are everywhere, and they will sometimes stick through the tape that I have on my gloves and poke my fingers, and it's just like, that's pretty painful. And that's pretty much the only drawback. But I like lifting up and taking all the stuff off the magnets and doing the work to do it. It's kind of relaxing.
And... Well, Alex Menino, Atlanta Magnet Man, thank you so much for, first of all, what you're doing for coming into GPP today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. This is wonderful.
A collection of items from Elton John's home on Peachtree Road in Atlanta are up for auction tonight. Artwork, including pieces by Banksy and Andy Warhol, a Yamaha Conservatory grand piano, and a pair of prescription sunglasses are among 49 items in the sale hosted by auction house Christie's. John sold the Park Place condo last fall, 3 decades after purchasing it. And if you miss the auction tonight, additional items from the home will be on sale 4 more days this month. And that is it for this edition of Georgia Today. If you want to learn more about any of these stories, visit gpb.org/news. That's also where we will have a link to the conversation with Atlanta Magnet Man and a link to his Instagram. And if you haven't subscribed to this podcast yet, take a moment now and keep us current in your podcast feed. If you've got feedback or a story idea, we would love to hear from you. Send us an email. The address is georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.